This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com. For you.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Basketball legend Derek Chivas. In about 6 or 7 minutes, his number will be retired by the University of Missouri. But right now, we're going to discuss hockey with the voice of the St. Louis Blues, Chris Kerber, live from Tampa. Chris, great to be with you. How are you?
Frank, doing awesome. Good to be with you, too. Just watching all the dads on the bench with their sons as they're about to take a big group photo before the morning skate starts.
Boy, give our listening audience a little insight on these dad trips and just how absolutely cool they are.
You know what? They really are cool. I think this is the fourth one that the Blues have done. Some teams that started them kind of before the Blues did, but as a matter of fact, I'm going to move sections so we're not sitting behind this photo here if they shoot up into the crowd. So as I walk away, there.
Get out of the picture.
It's one of those. Get out of the photo, will you? It's really kind of cool because, Frank, especially you've had kids that are athletes, and to watch a kid play, and for them, it's still a dream for them to watch how their sons are playing. And what's really cool is, like, if you see some of the video, and Tim Papps and Phil Mollica just did a great job of capturing shots during the game in Florida of the dads and how it goes. You know, it was one of those where you see them cheering as if they were watching their kids playing peewee hockey again. You know, and then the dads of the goalies, you know, are pretty much biting their nails throughout the whole thing. And honestly, one of the fun parts is just getting to hear some of the stories. So these dads will just kind of hang out, you know, and they'll hit a bar in town and get to know each other. And over a couple of years, some guys are fun back. They've built some great relationships and it's really special. I'll give you an example real quick. I was talking to Carl Gunnarsson's dad last night. And it turns out, and I did not know this, but Carl's dad was a goaltender in the Swedish Elite League in the mid to late 70s. And he was Carl's coach from the time he was 4 until he was about 16. And he's still coaching 9-year-old players over in Sweden. And Carl's younger brother is a forward. Carl's a defenseman. And getting just kind of some fun stuff like that is what makes it such an enjoyable, fun trip.
And they eat all the pregame meals and other meals with the team and they go to practice?
Yeah, they go to practice. They'll sit in team meetings. They'll get to really be a part of it. If you talk to any of these guys, you're going to say, oh, my gosh, we've done nothing for 3 days but eat. You know, there's a meal here, a meal's there. There's this, and it's kind of fun. And you get some – Tyler Bozak's dad, and they just did Facebook Live. John Kelly and Joey Vitale on the Blues website, Facebook Live site, just had Tyler Bozak's dad on. I mean, he's a trip. There's some great characters, and it really is enjoyable and fun to get to know them a little bit. And like Robert Thomas. Robert Thomas brought his, brought his grandpa. And how about this story real quick? Zach Sanford, of course, his dad died suddenly of a heart attack in training camp, if you remember that. And Zach had to leave and take care of that. Well, one of his buddies, Chris Callinan, who played with him in Boston, at Boston College, they were hanging out. And Zach said, will you come be a part of this? And Chris took some time off of work. He works in the financial industry. He took some time off of work, knowing how tough that this trip might be for Zach Sanford with all the other dads around, and it's still being so close to when his own dad passed that he joined him here. So some really great human interest stories on this as well. And you see Thomas Dean, a great NHLer in his own right, one of the greatest Winnipeg Jets of all time, hanging out here with Alex Dean, and right now Colt Parayko's dad has his arm around him, taking a picture, which is a thrill for Colton's dad. I mean, it's just kind of fun stuff like that.
All right, so they're going to be facing a Tampa Bay team who is the best offensive squad in the entire NHL. Who will be between the pipes to defend this offensive juggernaut?
No lineup changes for the Blues tonight. Jordan Binnington is going to be between the pipes. The only adjustment to the lineup, at least to begin it, that we're going to see is a change that the Blues made halfway through that Florida game, where they paired up Joel Edmondson with Alex Pietrangelo and Carl Gunnarsson with Vince Dunn. So that's a small little switch, but the same group of guys. And Jordan Binnington has earned this start tonight. The Tampa Bay Lightning lost in a shootout in their last game the same night the Blues were playing to Florida. They lost in the shootout to Las Vegas. This Lightning team has only lost back-to-back games one time all season, and you've got to go way back to November 10th and 13th when that happened. So this is a heck of a hockey team that the Blues are playing tonight.
Had the Blues definitively come out and said that David Perron may be having concussion issues, or is that even correct?
They have not definitively come out and said that that's what it is, but that's what I believe it to be. And outside of that, I wish I had a better update for you, Frank, but I really don't. Haven't seen him, and of course we've been on the road so much lately, you know. And then we were on the road going into the bye week, and then coming out of the bye week, so haven't had a chance to really get you much of an update on that front.
Biggest threat to the Blues postseason hopes: Vancouver 1 point in front, Colorado 1 point behind, Arizona by Edmonton and Anaheim all 2 points behind. What do you think here, Chris?
If I had to pick one of those teams, I would, or even two of those teams, I would probably say it could be Edmonton and I don't know the other one. Maybe Edmonton, Colorado. So while the Blues are playing the next five games, Colorado's got a schedule where they're playing pretty much top division teams, you know, for their next seven straight, and they've been struggling on top of it. And maybe I'll really turn this around and put the onus on the team we're watching at the warning ski right now, Frank. The biggest threat to the Blues postseason hopes might be the Blues themselves. They're a good enough team, and they control their own destiny. If they continue what they're doing and playing the style of play they're doing, they should be fine. To me, they're the only ones that can get in the way of themselves right now of making the playoffs.
Tell me something you've observed about Craig Berube that really jumps out at you. What makes him tick, and why is he special?
He has taken a no-nonsense approach to this team and has proven to really come across as a player's coach here. From that, the understanding of how the players go. And I think the biggest thing that he has done is he has created a harder mental approach. He wants guys to be aggressive. He goes, if you make a mistake, at least make it out of playing good aggressive hockey. He's held guys accountable. But in talking to Steve Ott after that Florida game and then even on the travel day yesterday, we were talking about the mental makeup of this hockey team. And he said, look, that first period in Florida was ugly. He goes, but you could see on our bench that there was absolutely no wavering going on. That probably wasn't going to be the case 2 months ago. So I would say that's really the most impressive thing that he's been able to accomplish, is he's gotten this team to believe in themselves and believe in the style of play. And that makes all the difference in the world.
Let's face it, when the coaching change was made, he looked like the most interim of interim coaches in sports. Now he actually has a chance to control his own destiny. Do you believe?
Yeah, he does. It really is an interesting topic. And, you know, there hasn't been much, word breaking or anything like that coming from Doug Armstrong, and nor would you see that. That's not his style. Typically, if you hear a rumor coming, it started someplace else. But to those end, the thing is, he said Craig Berube's going to be our coach the rest of the year. And that flat out is the case. And you've got, you know, another interim coach in two places. You've got one in Los Angeles, and you've got one in Philadelphia. You know, but the reality of it is after, I think, what happened with Mike Gill and how that broke down in the coaching waiting thing, I don't think Doug Armstrong, one, is going to show his cards until he has to. But number two, I don't think he's going to paint himself into a corner before he has to as well here. So, look, does it help Craig Berube's chances if this team gets into the playoffs? Yes. But at the same time, I mean, Frank, there could be some interesting changes going on around. What if Nashville decided to make a move? What if because they didn't get as far as they want to in the playoffs? What if Tampa did as well? I don't think it would make sense for Doug Armstrong to paint himself into a corner anyway. So I don't call Craig Berube an interim coach. I call him the head coach. He right now is the head coach of this hockey team.
Good stuff. We'll be listening tonight. Thank you so much for your time, Chris.
Okay, Frank, have a great show.
All right, Chris Kerber joining us live from Tampa. He's brought to us by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving the St. Louis area for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you. In a hurry? Well, go to Petromart, because they really do offer a wide variety of good foods. They have fresh fruit, and they have salad. They have sandwiches on the go. Very tasty, very tasty. So if you get a chance, stop by one of those great Petromarts, and they will take great care of you. They've been serving St. Louis for a long time, and we're thrilled they bring us the great Chris Kerber on all Blues games. All right. Very shortly, we're going to check in here with Derek Tevis. I do want to tell you that Maryville University sponsors our phone lines. If you get a chance, go to maryville.edu for more information. I'll tell you, that is a hardworking basketball coach they have in Mark Stricker. He was out there watching basketball last night. Somebody tells me that there were 9 dunks last night in the CBC Vachon game. I guess the fact that they were just so sensational, it just made you, wow, I can't believe all these dunks. But 9 still a pretty high total for a high school basketball game. Certainly a little more than we had back at DeSmet in the 1980s. If you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so. Maryville University listener line, 855-282-8255. Winning streak text line, that same number, 855-282-8255. Martin Kilcoyne will join us at 11 o'clock. So will the outstanding columnist, Pat Forty, a University of Missouri grad. We'll talk college sports with Pat Forty. But right now, we want to welcome to the program basketball royalty. Think about all the players in the University of Missouri basketball history. And then we have Derek Chivas, the all-time leading scorer, 2,580. And later this month, he is finally going to have that number retired. It's an honor that's long overdue in Columbia, and Derek joins us now. Derek, welcome to the program. Congratulations. How are you today?
Brilliant, Frank. Thank you. What's going on, bro? Love you, man. What's going on?
Everything's great. And just when you heard the news that your number will be hanging in the rafters, what'd you think?
I was just extremely happy and humbled, man. The AD, Mr. Sturk, gave me a phone call. I had to figure out how he got my number because no one has my number. And found out how he got my number, and then we corresponded, and then he gave me the information, and I thanked him and kept it moving.
That's awesome. You know, a lot of people don't realize this. You enrolled at the University of Missouri when you were 16 years old. You were, I think, the 9th best player in the country, and you had offers from Georgetown, UCLA, North Carolina, St. John's. Why Missouri? Why did you make that decision?
To be honest with you, I give all praise to Rich Daly. Rich Daly, he impressed my aunt, who since passed away. And once he did that, she said something to my mother, and then the deal was done.
Your high school career, and I think Rich Daly has told the story before, but I think it was in the New York City high school championship game. And Daly, who, by the way, recruited so many great players and saw many great players, he said the night that you scored 60, it was the single greatest high school performance he had ever witnessed. How do you remember that?
I just remember seeing a lot of the college coaches in attendance that I've seen on television. I didn't actually know who Coach Daly was. But at the time, he was recruiting a player named James Majors, who went on to go to Seton Hall, but he went to Bishop Laughlin, and we were real tight, and we took maybe 2 or 3 visits together. But that's basically how they got kind of an inkling that I had an interest, because they were recruiting James Majors. And I remember seeing Coach Daly in attendance, and the assistant coach, Coach Malone, would tell me who's in attendance, what I needed to do, what I needed to focus on. And I remember him telling me that Coach Daly originally didn't come to recruit me. And that kind of got me kind of fired up. And I said, well, after this game, he'll recruit me.
Well put. And isn't that the game where the legend of the Band-Aid happened?
No. I actually, that started in junior high school. And I still have the scar over my eyebrow, because my hair won't grow over it. I got hit in the head, and then I had sustained the cut, put one on, and had a brilliant game, and then I just kept it going from there.
By the way, how do you graduate from high school at age 16? Did they just move you up at a young age?
No. My mother had rules in her house, and you either got a job or you went to school. And at the time, my mother, I think they still do it, they you have to take these placement tests to see if you can get in to first grade. I never went to kindergarten or preschool, as you guys call it. I went straight to first grade.
Derek Chivas joins us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. I know your relationship with Norm Stewart has become real good. I think you two are close now. At one time, you kind of were at each other a little bit. How would you describe your relationship over the years with Norm?
I don't know where everyone has gotten that from. I've always been taught to respect my elders and respect people that are trying to help you. I've never had a problem with Coach Stewart. He was the coach. I was the player. So wherever that came from, I have no problem with it. But now that I'm an adult, I have free will to express myself verbally. So that's where our relationship is, where I have conversations with Coach Stewart now, whereas before as a player, I just had to sit and listen, and whatever he told me to do, that's what I had to do. So wherever that came from, I had problems with coaches is nonsense, man.
When he when you become an All-American like yourself and score 2,500 points, it part of the credit goes to the coach. He must have brought out the best in you. I mean, how did Norm Stewart help you in your 4 years?
There's some insight that a lot of people don't know. Coach was extremely brilliant at practice, and I wasn't. I was like Allen Iverson, practice. And so I would get bored in practice, but I later found that out that the attention to detail was something I wanted to do on my own. And we had a coach named Coach Filbert, and God bless his soul, he's not here, but if he was here, he could give you amazing stories how I would spend hours and days in the film room with him just watching film of older players, watching film of teams, knowing what I could and could not do in the game, where I could get my shot from, how the refs were calling the game. I would watch hours and hours of film with Coach Filbert. And I have a guy who is truly an inspiration and a mentor to me. I hope I tell the story how I got him fired because I listened to him too much. Coach Beckett, who told me how to do plus and minuses, how you go up the court one or two times, you don't get a shot. That's a negative. How to get a rebound, how to get a putback, and how to control a game. And those people showed me how to make the game more simple and more fun. And Coach basically was the X and O's in practice, man. He basically had you so prepared that when you got in the game, you would see stuff and be, oh, I already know that. That's what they're running. But as an individual, I did a lot of stuff on my own, man, with the help of Coach Filbert with filming and Coach Beckett with just knowing the nuances of plus and minuses and learning the game inside out.
And nobody knows the game like Dennis Beckett, who runs the Basketball Academy in St. Louis, who's worked with Derek.
He's my I call him the young John Wooden. He used to give me books to read on the road, man. And I tell the story how I didn't really like lifting weights. And I remember they had me on film. Hey, you know, coach brings me in the office. He says, the University of Missouri, we do this. And so I said, yeah, well, John Wooden, players don't lift weights, and he's a national champion. He said, well, take your butt to UCLA. So I've had some amazing times, and Coach Beckett was always there to shield me, be my umbrella, man, to be an excuse for me. And I love him to this day, and I spent a lot of time with him, and he always worked me out in the summer when I went to Europe. So I was always prepared, mentally and physically.
True, is this fact or fiction? I've heard that you would never dunk in practice ever, and then one day some teammates may have been chiding you a little bit about this, and then you did some kind of 360 windmill routine, and everybody kind of backed off. Well, tell me the whole story about you and dunking.
Now that's a fact. And I'll give you an example, and this goes back to Coach Beckett again. He gave me a book to read about John Wooden. And so I'm reading this book, and I'm seeing in here how none of his players did all that, how it conserved energy, how you could use that energy for something else. And when someone's impeding your progress, that's when you should dunk. And so, you know, my teammates was like, oh, we see you doing all this, and you're jumping real high and everything, but you never dunk in a game. So, and I explained this to them, but it's kind of hard to explain something to someone who has never read the book that I was reading. So we had like what they would call a dunk out. And I'll never forget, we had a player on our team named Robin Davis who had like a 40-inch vertical from Chicago. He went to one of those great Peoria teams. And I just wanted to prove to him that I actually could out-dunk him. And then ever since then, they stopped, as they say, ribbing me on the situation of dunking. But it wastes a lot of energy. It's still 2 points.
So you're a first-round draft choice of the Rockets, also played with the Cavaliers, and then had a career in Europe. When you look back on your professional career, how do you see it?
As far as, and I get this a lot, and how they say I was a bust, and I take that with a grain of salt. I took it as a job. I tell people this all the time. I went into the NBA. I was 20 years old. I wrote a lot of checks with my mouth that I was never able to cash. But I was so blessed to get the opportunity to go over to Europe and to actually where they basically wanted me to do everything. And so I had the opportunity to showcase my talent and showcase my hard work that no one in America had seen. So I was blessed. And at the end of the day, it's a job. No one understands that. It's a job. And being in the NBA is one of the greatest fraternities in the world. And I'm part of that fraternity. And so I've been blessed and highly favored. And the fruits of my labor has been cherished and shared with my family and my mother. And that's basically why I played the game.
We're getting a bunch of texts, Derek, about you. I want to read one. Let Derek know he was appreciated by the whole state of Missouri. I also want to get your take on your children. I know Quentin was a terrific player at Tennessee, but I know you have some younger Chivases, or one in particular who has a chance to be a special player, already has great size and skill. Tell me about him in Columbia.
My son, Takai Joseph, a.k.a. Angelo Briggs, a.k.a. the Green Eyed Bandit, he was born for this. And when I say he was born for this, he's been around it. His mother, his grandfather have nurtured him, and his basketball IQ is off the chart. And to watch him do his thing is unreal to watch. Like, he's the type of kid that if he wasn't my kid, I'd pay to watch him play because he does everything the right way and he has the skill set. I just pray that he doesn't fall in these traps, because you have this thing now, everybody's ranking everybody and they're saying, oh, you should be starting, and instead of him just keep grinding and loving his craft and keep working on his craft. I just pray that the powers to be don't tank my kid, and I'm going to do everything in my power not to let that happen. And his mother's in a position where she knows the game, and she set up things for him to not let that happen. So, and he's incredible. But I have a daughter that no one's talking about, and she's unreal. And her name is Malia Ann, and she plays for the boys and girls team, and they run the table. They never lose.
I hope every basketball parent just heard what Derek said. That's wise advice. Tell me, your son is how old? Well, what grade's he in, and what's his size?
He's a freshman. He's at Tolton, former championship school of Michael Porter Jr. and all the Porters. And he's actually playing with two of the brothers. I think it's Colvin and Michael Porter's younger brother, Javon.
And how big is he?
He's 6'3", but with the hair these kids have now, he's 6'4". But like I told him, I said, when you go to the combine, meaning the NBA combine, you'll get exposed. They'll tell you a real height. So he's 6'3", and he's basically a freshman, and he's basically destroying JV, and he plays like 11 minutes. He's averaging 4 points and 5 rebounds on varsity, man, but they're winning. And like I told him, I said, when you're winning, man, everybody looks good. And most of these kids make their bones in the AAU in the summer, so he'll be prepped. And I think it's March 23rd and 24th. He's playing in a top 150 camp in Atlanta.
Before we let you go.
He doesn't know that, but.
I will keep it quiet. Before we let you go, I know that you've received honors in your life before. You got into the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame about 6 or 7 years ago. But can you put into words what it's going to be like, packed house, I believe it's February 19th, Mizzou in Kentucky at Mizzou Sports Arena, and to see that number go up in the rafters? Have you thought about it and what that'll mean to you?
Not in terms of for myself. There's a lady who's basically at the age of 16 made sure that no harm came my way while I was here at the University of Missouri. She's like a surrogate mom. Her name is Sally Nichols. I had a situation where she thought my number was going to get retired after my senior year, and it never came to fruition. And I seen a look on her face, and I never wanted to see that look again. So for the 19th to see a different look on her face will probably mean something more to me than anybody will know, but she'll know. And I think that's what's important to me.
Derek, honored to have you on the program. Congratulations on the honor.
Thank you, sir.
All right, Derek Chivas, the great Missouri Tiger, joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Wow, some real good content there. He is, he's colorful, he's bright, he's a passionate parent, and he's a hell of a player. We'll be right back.